Have you ever stopped to think about why God created? Because he wanted something to look at and handle and be proud of? Well, I've done that. I've enjoyed creating with my hands and with wood. And I have numbers of pieces of furniture, pretty simple furniture, that I have created and built. They're in the homes of our kids, homes of Margaret's brothers and sisters. So when we go and visit and I see a piece of furniture that I created 30 or 40 years ago, I smile. Probably God didn't just create because he wanted to look at something and be proud of it. Oh, but did God create because he was bored and wanted something to do? Well, I know none of you ever get bored. Sometimes I do, and I'm sitting there and I think, I've got to do something besides just sit in this recliner. And so I get up and I go out and I look for something to do, and it doesn't take very long for me to see that my garage is a mess. So I don't ever need to be bored because there's always a garage to clean and get organized. Now, probably God wasn't bored, and so he created. Or did God create because there was someone who was commissioning him to go out and create some beautiful piece of art? Well, yeah, sometimes I'm asked to create something for someone. Yeah, you wouldn't know, but there are things at the store, at Lumber House, that people set things on and hang things on that I created because I was told that it was needed, and I said, sure, I'll do that. Well, no, probably God didn't create because there was someone saying, God, you need to do this. God's God. There's no one who's going to tell him or ask him to do something, is there? Well, as I have thought about this and looked at it, I come to this reality that I believe is true. God so loved that he created. God so loved that he created. During the coming weeks, I'm going to be talking about different aspects of God's love as we see that love lived out and expressed by God in situations, in places, and in different ways. I believe that God created because of love, because love is at the very depth of who God is. The very depth of all of that. This thing that's called love has become something that's very difficult in our culture to identify and to determine really what love is. We've talked about that before here. But as we look at this creation today, and as we come to the various things in the coming weeks, I trust that all of our understanding will grow and our hearts will grow in relationship to the love of God. So God so loved that he created. There are three characteristics of God's love that I want to talk about today. Seminary professors, I get an A+, right? 3-point sermon. Okay, here we go. And your outline is very simple, isn't it? So here we go. Three things related to love. I think, first of all, love has a need for expression. Love has a need for expression. There's this innate thing within us and within God that needs to do, needs to create, needs to act. Well, it's not only true of God in creation, but it's true of me. It's true of me in this sense. Margaret and I were dating in college, and so when Margaret's birthday came around March 10th, I, as a lover, thought, okay, what can I do? And so what I did was, my expression of love was 10 pounds of red licorice. Because Margaret loves red licorice. An expression of love. Love needs to get out of us. There needs to be something that is created, something that's done, an expression of that that is within us that needs to get out there. And in creation, that's what God has done. Now, creating things again, back to my building. Okay, our first two children were girls. So Heather and then Jennifer, and they're little girls, and they watch Mom in the kitchen. And so Dad thinks, okay, what I can create for them is a kitchen of their own. So I built a refrigerator and a stove and, you know, the fixings, and gave it to them to enjoy and play. Creative play. My expression of love for them. Well, that expression of love has gone through a couple generations now. It not only was theirs to play with, but our grandkids, you know, had it in their homes, and they played with it in their homes, and now it's back in our basement again. And guess what? We are kind of the I-70 bed and breakfast for people who are traveling east and west. And there have been numbers of families with children who they get downstairs into our guest room, playroom, and what do? They tear open the refrigerator, see what's in it, and get in the stove, and they play creatively with that. God's love was poured out in the creative juices of creation. And each one of us have some of that in us as well, that need for expression, that need to get it out. God's huge store of love moved him to create. And that same nature is in us as well. The second thing then, there's an innate need for beauty. God has this need to express, and then there's this need for beauty. Now, Barth is, you know, scanning some pictures up there that are pictures of God's beauty, of God's creative beauty. God created beauty. One of the things I love is beauty. I love beauty. I love things that are beautiful. God's the author of beauty. One of the characteristics of love that comes out of his expression is beauty. Think about it for a minute. At our house, I have a bird feeder right outside our front windows. And we discovered that there are Baltimore Orioles in our area. And so we have this, it's a hummingbird feeder. And on top, I have the lid of a can that, guess what I put in the lid of that can? Grape jelly, exactly. The Baltimore Orioles love grape jelly. And I love watching them come and stick their beaks in and pull that grape jelly out. And I love the beauty of the Baltimore Orioles. But guess what? That's only one of millions. One of millions of pieces of God's creation that is absolutely gorgeous. You know, the pictures, thank you, Barth, for finding those and putting those up for us. God's beauty is incredible in relationship to his creation and what we have the opportunity of sharing and enjoying and using ourselves. God's love has been shared through his expression in creation. God's love is expressed through beauty. And then the third thing here, God's love has a need for order. The created world is an amazing, amazing reality. Amazing picture of order. Think about it. How long has this world been here? Well, if you are a creationist who believes in God's creation and the Bible, you know, we date the beginning of creation several thousand years ago. There are others who do differently, but that's how we look at it. But God's creation, God created with order. That creation that, whether it's several thousand years old, this creation, or whether it's millions of years old, it's held together. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Think about all that's out there, the stars and the meteors, etc. You know, every once in a while we'll hear that there's a meteor that's coming close to the earth. And it's going to break up. And we wonder, well, are we going to get hit or aren't we? Well, 5,000 years, a million years, so far, we haven't been destroyed, have we? Guess why? Because of order. God's order of things. God created in a way that it all fits together. It all works together. There's order that makes it work. Part of God's love is the reality of order, the placing of order so that, you know, when I go and I need my knees replaced, the doctors can go in and they can put new knees in me and my body recovers. It heals and I can go on. Why? It's because of God's order of things. It's because the way God created our bodies, He created us to heal. And that's part of the order. You know, we can look at many, many things. And if I were more of a scientist, I could spend hours talking about this order that God has put in place. Now, as we think of that, and we think of order, God's truth is orderly. The things that we find in the scriptures, the things we find in our Bible, God's truth has order to it. So what God has given us, what Jesus taught, is for a purpose. What's the purpose? It's so that life holds together. It's so that life doesn't fall apart. It's so that there's some sense of purpose and value in who we are and in the world in which we live. Now, unfortunately, our world has discarded God's truth and God's provision of order. And we see the reality of that in many, many ways. You know, families that are falling apart. Why are they falling apart? Because families haven't followed God's order. They haven't followed His truth. And if they had, there would be a better outcome. There'd be a better story. Our society is the same way. Why is it falling apart? Why do we have all of these shootings? Because God's order of things has been left behind. We no longer pray in the schools. We no longer pray before public events. Well, sometimes we do, don't we? Depending on where you are. We see in our media this week, what? This month? It's all about stuff that is out of God's order. It's not God's order. It's not what God planned. Why are we having so much trouble? Because the order that God planned through His love is being discarded. Now, order requires truth and not lying. Love embraces order, which can only be realized when we follow God's plan for truth. Paul wrote those words in 1 Corinthians 13 that identify God's order and identify the reality of God's love. I'm going to read them, and I'm going to read them twice because I want us to listen carefully and think about what is being said here. It's critical, crucial to our lives and our living. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And it endures all things. Love never ends. Love never fails. I'm not going to read it again. I want you to go and read it when you get home. But think about all of those qualities. This is God's truth. This is God's order of things so that we can have peace, so that there's hope, so that there's life. The love of God is seen in order, in His truth, in God's truth. This week, the news media is airing the investigation from January 6, 2021. There's no way that God saw any joy in the activities of that day. There's no way there was any sense of God's love realized in any kind of order in the events of that day. Our society, dysfunction, hate, envy, discord. The events of that day identify all that is wrong, all that is ungodly, not godly. Whether we believe what the media shows us or not, I think we all would acknowledge the reality that this is not God's order of things. This doesn't identify any of God's truth, any of God's love. We said God's love has to have expression. The people on that day were giving expression, but it certainly wasn't an expression of love other than to self. When God's truth and God's love are followed and embraced, there's always going to be peace and order. Chaos, confusion, and disorder are the result of selfish and sinful hearts that understand nothing that comes from God. The creation is a picture of God's amazing love expressed with order from the beginning to the end. That's why this world hasn't blown up. That's why we're still here. That's why things make sense to scientists. And yet they try to say that it wasn't of God. God so loved the world that He created. The need for expression, the need for beauty, the need for order. As we seek to understand more about God's love, it then informs us of what God wants for us in terms of loving and expressing. We've been created in the image of God. That means that we have inherent within us the need to give expression of love. Think about your life for a minute and think about this past week. Were there things that you did in this past week that you would say were expressions of love? Were there phone calls you made? Was there something you built or created? Was there something that you shared with someone that brought light and hope to them? Expressions of love. We've been created in God's image that has this inherent love in us for beauty. Now, I don't know if the pictures that Barth is sharing with us this morning, I don't know if they're from Rick Faye's, and Pam's shaking her head, no, they aren't. But one of the things that Rick loved was photography, and he loved to photograph flowers. So one of the things he did at one point was go over here to our neighbors and photograph the flowers next door. And he brought them back, and he shared that with us. One of the things he loved was in Topeka, there are gardens there that Rick loved to go and take pictures of the gardens and the flowers that were there. His love for beauty was something that was, you know, inherent in him, that is inherent in all of us. And for each one of us, that beauty may be something different. It's a beauty that draws us to do things well. It's a beauty that says, Dennis, when you do an electrical job and put a panel back together, you want it to look right, not like a farmer did it. I'm a farmer. Dennis had to laugh at me when he came and did a job for me. But seriously, that's what God has planted in us, to be able to create and love beauty. And whether it's in how you do your job, it's whether in what you create in the kitchen, men or ladies, or in art, God has planted that in us, and that's inherent in who we are. The other thing that then is a part of God's love is this whole idea of order. The expression of God's love in order. The expression of our love in order. Now, my wife has to be one of the greatest persons of expressing love in order in our house. If I don't put something away, I'm in trouble. She likes to see order. Why? It's something that God placed in her. I like to see order too. I just don't get at it, and so my garage doesn't look like it is touched by Margaret. Because if it were, it'd look different. But God has created us to be people out of which comes these same qualities of love that God has. So rejoice, family, believers, children of God. We are blessed not only to see God's love, but to realize God's love in ourselves and to share it with each other. Now, one of the things that we did while we were on vacation was we went to church with Bob and Heather and to their church. And they have just started a series of messages that are coming from great art pieces. So Bob was the first one to share in the setting that we were in, and he shared the art piece of the prodigal son that was done by, not Michelangelo.
Rembrandt.
It's a Rembrandt piece. And it was thrilling how he presented that and how he shared that. But, you know, there are some who can put something on a canvas that is beautiful. And it's an expression. Why did that artist, Rembrandt, when he painted that picture, he had the father and the lost son to one side, and they were a bit smaller, and then there was a bit of open space, and then on the other side of the picture, larger than either of those two, was the son that stayed at home. You know, our lives are expressed in many, many different ways. Myron was talking to me out here this morning before we came in about his life and a choice that he did not make that he might have made that would have made a difference in terms of what he has done in his life. All of us are like that. We make choices. We make those choices out of who we are, the expression of who we are. And God has created us all differently. And that's part of the beauty of God's creation. I love it. And I love to see people's lives expressed. Myron was my seventh grade, I guess. Was it seventh grade we got you, Myron? Seventh or eighth grade science teacher. And Myron said this morning, he loves to see how people's lives are lived out. He, not long ago, was able to share some time with my baby sister, Becky. And Myron was saying, oh, I just can't believe how full she is and how vibrant and the fact that she's doing this and this and this. And the reality is, folks, we look at each other and we see our lives lived out, worked out in pretty incredible ways. Rejoice. Rejoice. Be glad. Because this is what God does in and through us. We're going to close today with a hymn, This Is My Father's World. Before I do that, though, I just want to make one other comment. As you read through the first two chapters of Genesis and read the creation account, at the end of every day, what did God say? It is good. It is good. It is good. One of the things that I would love for each of us to be able to say at the end of every day, it is good. If we don't say that or can't say that, we can probably go back through the day and reflect a bit and say, oh, shoot, I missed this truth or this order or this expression that I could have done, that I could have shared. And so that made this day not quite as good as it could have been. But God said after his creation, every day it is good. You are good. I'm good. We're God's created beings. And this song we're going to sing to close, This Is My Father's World, folks. God's creation. It's a marvelous place for us to live. Stand with me and let's sing and be thankful. Hallelujah.